Welcome to Space Midrash, where Jewish thought meets the final frontier. Space being this awe-filled cosmos that's just begging us to come and know it, to be greater through it. And Midrash, the Jewish process of drawing from the past, standing in the present, and creating a narrative richer, more inclusive than our ancestors could have imagined. I'm your host, Jacob Sager, inviting you to join me on this journey, where every episode is an opportunity to expand our understanding, connect across generations, and shape a future that honors our heritage while boldly stepping into the unknown. I believe in an artful humanity, ethically thriving throughout the universe, but we will only become those people if we can tell the story of us becoming those people. Welcome to another episode of Space Midrash, where your cosmic journeys intersect with the richness of Jewish philosophy. I'm your host, Jacob Sager. We're going into an extraordinary conversation with Keisha Shachaf, whose space voyage offered her a transcendent view of the Earth. This episode is particularly special because Keisha describes the profound moment where both she and her daughter first glimpsed our planet from above. And it's special to hear about her as a parent who took her child into space, the experience of seeing her daughter seeing the Earth from space for the first time is akin to seeing your child take a first step. That perspective was a moment reminiscent of the collective reflection and connection we all cherish during Shabbat. This discussion isn't just about traveling beyond our atmosphere. It's about the spiritual awakenings that such journeys can prompt and the growth that one can do with oneself in order to find themselves on such a journey. Prepare to be moved by a story of exploration, of family, of coming to know oneself, outward and inward, and it's just amazing. Keisha is just great. I think you'll enjoy this episode. We're here on the Space Midrash podcast today with Keisha Shachaf, who I'm talking to. You are an astronaut in that you went to space last year and crossed the Kármán line, and I'm very excited to have you here on the show. So my first opening question for you is just, what does space mean to you, and why does space matter?
Well, I feel like space is a part of us anyway. And growing up in a small island in Antigua and Barbuda, I found that no one was really thinking about, you know, what's up there, what's more, to discover life a little bit more. So space for me is one of exploration, to know more about yourself, know about existence, why are we here? And it's just an energy. I see it as an energy as well, because we're so connected to our feelings and that connection of how the sky makes us feel, or it's so magical, you know, like it just didn't create itself like that. You know, there has to be something more. And on top of that, a place of peace as well.
You work with individuals and do body work and coaching with people. And space is, at least the process of traveling to space, is one of weightlessness. I'm curious if that experience has changed your appreciation and understanding of the human body and the work you do with other people.
Very good question. So first of all, I'm an energy and self-development wellness coach. And I do help people to release stuck energies from the body, from the mind, you know, that you can go past your limitations to acquire what it is you want to acquire in this life. So I got into that because I found that I needed help. I felt like I was stuck. And by doing the work on myself, I felt that it brought me more in alignment to my biggest dream, which was going into space. And I came to realize that when we do the work on ourselves, we can acquire bigger dreams, whether it's going to space or exploration or whatever it is might be for you. So going into space and coming back made me realize that this work is really important work. That feeling of peace and in zero gravity, weightlessness, just made me see that we're the ones that are putting so much burden and so much stress on top of ourselves. So bringing all of that, I feel like my profession and going to space just somehow intertwined and made it just make sense for me.
There's some interesting synchronicity around your trip that you took, in that the year before you went to space, there was a statue that was unveiled in Antigua of an astronaut. Completely unrelated at that point, you didn't have a ticket, you weren't necessarily flying, but I'm wondering, as you talk about bigger dreams or having kind of bigger perspectives, where does art or some kind of bigger influences in society kind of play out into how you brought about and did that work and then found yourself in space?
I might be a little bit ignorant, but I'm not familiar with a statue, you know, showing up in Antigua and Barbuda before going to space. But when it comes to art and creativity, I believe that it's all together. We have the mindset to think that space is separate from us. When we're just floating in space, really, we're just protected here because of our atmosphere, that the gravity that we have here. But it's really one connection. And if you can bring that out in art, then you can really visualize and see it. I've been visualizing on space since I was like 2 years old, when my grandfather told me the first tale. Well, it wasn't even a tale, it was a fact of the first man to go to the moon, Neil Armstrong. And that just stayed with me, creating such a strong vision. Just that for me, I was not coming from a science background because I failed in science, having learning disabilities that at the time when I was a kid, they didn't have enough research. But I found that I could learn, just that I learned in a more artistic and creative way. And I just have to know, hey, the more I relax myself, my, you know, your mind actually works much better, right? So it was really the tension. So creativity has always been my way. I was a designer before, and it just didn't work for me because I still was not living my purpose. But having a better understanding now, I can link it all together because it's really all interconnected, our entire journey and experience.
You had the pleasure of winning an experience to space, and as in at least one day, although you know that you want to go to space and that's your dream and you're being authentically connected to it, there's a little bit that's in the realms of chance and in the arms of other things. I just want to know, what's the experience? I mean, that's the greatest lottery to win. What's it like to find out that you're going to space, and what's it like to make that great choice of who you bring with you?
It was really an unbelievable experience because, like, I kind of fell into the trap believing that, okay, if this thing is not happening for so long, maybe it's just not meant to be, maybe it's just not your thing. So I wasn't one of those that was like obsessed with it and holding on to it and just, you know, not having a good life. But it just brought me to realize that certain things was not aligning and I couldn't be 100% happy and content because something was missing. And then to have that trust and that feeling inside to complete a lottery, which I never gambled before in my life, and making this entry and then just surrendering and saying, if this is from the universe and it's meant to be, it will happen, and just let it go. And then suddenly 2 months later to see Richard Branson come into my house to say, you won, you're going to space. I'm like, how is that possible for me, out of how much billion people on this planet was chosen for this opportunity? So that was just huge. That made me realize, hey, it's time for you to just surrender and show up to life. And it's not about you anymore. This is an act of humanity.
You won two tickets and you got to bring someone with you.
Yes.
You brought your daughter, which I think is super awesome. What did you have to say to each other before you went to space about the experience? And what did you have to say to each other about it afterwards?
Well, when I found out that it was going to be two tickets that I would have won, I had to first, you know, figure out who am I going to bring with me. So I thought my husband would have wanted to come. So I said to him, would you come to space with me? And he didn't believe it because he knows that I never gamble. So he didn't believe it. He says, this is sounds like some kind of spam or something like this. And if they start asking you for money, please get away from this. And I'm like, okay, my daughter overheard this. And she's like, Mom, if anybody's going to space with you, it's going to be me. And then I was so shocked because I had no clue that my little kid was also interested in space like this. So that brought such a bond between us. I mean, we always had a bond before, but now it's like another part, like a secret part of ourselves are now, you know, like finally a conversation. So it was beautiful. We had so much to talk about, what more we want to discover in the astral world and are there aliens? And the first thing is really, are there aliens? And just looking up at the stars, we will just like spend so much time just looking up at the stars because that's one of the favorite things for me to do. And actually coming back from space was even more phenomenal because we're like, whoa, that rocket boost was amazing, or seeing the planet was amazing. So we were just like always like sometimes just the eyes, we connect in eyes and we already know I'm still in space. I'm still floating there. So
That is beautiful. So awesome.
Yeah.
And between the two of you, you flew under three or four flags, is that right?
Yeah, that's true. Three flags, yeah.
Tell us about the different flag patches you had in your family and what they mean to y'all and why you're representing.
Okay, so I'm going to start with my daughter, right? So she was wearing two flags. We were wearing our nation's flag, Antigua. Obviously, this is where we're from, so we're going to wear that flag. But my daughter believed she had a very strong connection to wear the Scottish flag because she believes had not we made the decision for her to go to university in Scotland, we would not have been on that flight that where I saw the ad that I entered the lottery and made the winning to space. So that flag makes a big connection because of that. So when they said we have two patches and to choose two things to carry on our arm, so my daughter chose the Antigua flag and the Scottish flag. So now for me, I obviously also had that dilemma. You have two patches to carry something on it. So I took my nation and also I took the Israeli flag. And the reason I took that flag is because Israel has always meant something to me big in my heart, from biblical and, you know, just energetic wise. And then having the fortune to find the love of my life, my husband, who is from Israel, Jewish and from Israel, which I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like, I feel like I fit in with the community so nicely. All the people, I get along very, very well with anybody really who is from Israel, no bias. And I actually stayed in Israel for about a year with my husband and I fell in love with the country as well. So I thought that if my husband is not with me physically, then I'm going to take his flag. And he didn't even know. I said, I have a surprise for you. And then I showed him my patch. It's going to be the Israeli flag. And he's like, oh, no.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So does having family around the world mean something different to you now that you've seen the world from such a big angle?
Definitely, especially having my Israeli family, my in-laws, because it's a lot. I have sister, brothers, you know, and lots of friends, cousins. So I do have a very big support system in Israel and so many other people that I've met. So that's really, really nice knowing that I have that support. And also my in-laws came, you know, to watch me in person actually go to space. So they were guests of mine as well. And they were showing the Israeli flag so big. So it was Antigua and Israel flag. So it was really nice. I just want to see this beautiful unity and peace, you know, and I feel like these two great nations can conquer that.
Absolutely. Do you think there's something about the space age? Antigua and Israel are such small nation states by population standards, by physical area. And yet the impact here of, yeah, I mean, they're both very big and part of our conversation here with you being here. I wonder if you just have any thoughts about how size matters differently when you can get to a huge perspective like outer space.
Yeah, I see that. Very good question, too. So basically, you know, the world is just one whole. Seeing it from space is just one whole. And we're just this minute nothing on top of our planet. So whether we're in a nation or a single person, I think that big and small is just really an illusion if we look at that, look at it that way. And if we have an audience for people to listen to us, why not say something? Why not say what it is that you're feeling inside that's moving you? And it can make a great difference, because you will resonate with so many other people who share this similar perspective as well, and bringing in new folks as well that would share your beliefs too. So I don't think the size really matters, but it's a beautiful connection. And I mean, we might be small, but we're well heard, you know. In Antigua, we have probably like less than 90,000 people as our population here. So it's even smaller.
Yeah. One thing that's talked about for people who get the perspective you do is the overview effect, what it looks like from there, but not just what it looks like, the effect it has on your spirituality, your philosophies, your storytelling, all of that. You seem to be a person who, I mean, not seem, as we've discussed, doing the work was a huge part of your life always, and was something that also shaped and opened a door for you, you say, is into going to space or making this possible or creating that alignment. If I haven't exactly asked this already, maybe I have, is I'm curious how that perspective, does that shift your spirituality, especially considering you're an individual who's done a lot of work or is very present to your spirituality?
It has not only created a shift within me, but it has concreted that I have been on the right path. And to continue showing up for me, continue doing the work on me so that I can keep showing up and stretching myself. And it's so easy to go into fear and hold ourselves back, especially being afraid to fail and lose everything. And what really has happened for me is that I learned how to trust. I learned how to let go and just trust. Seeing the earth just floating there, this big nothing, and seeing the sun, how the sun looks in its true form, and even the moon and the light, and how I felt out there made me see that there is magic out there and there is something that's moving without us. So there is greatness out there, something bigger than myself, than all humanity. And I just surrendered and trusted in that everything will be fine.
This is a question I've always wanted to ask somebody who's gone to space is, have your dreams changed, you know, at night, like the dreams you have when you're sleeping as a result of going to space? Do you dream that you're back there?
That is such a cool question. And the reason I'm laughing, because I was wondering when I got back from space, like a whole month, where are my dreams? Why am I not dreaming? And before going to space, I would dream all the time. It's like such a busy mind while I'm sleeping. Sometimes I wake up, I'm like, whew, well, I feel like being awake gives me rest than when I'm sleeping. And then to come back from space in a whole month and not even one dream, I was like, this is crazy. So I called and spoke to the doctor that checked me out before going to space and everything. And I asked about this and he explained that it's a part of the aftermath, that different things we can experience. And that's just one of the things that I'm experiencing. And another thing that happened to me as well, I used to drink water that's room temperature. And now I can't drink it. I'm just constantly drinking cold water now. I try to drink room temperature and it just won't go in my mouth. I feel sick from it. So Only ice water I can drink now.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Has your space changed your media consumption or your desired media consumption, be it, you know, television, books, computer, music, going to see the theater, things on stage, like any of that? We all have kind of different ratios of what we take in media-wise. I'm just curious if that's another thing that might have shifted from having that experience.
That's an interesting question. I think I used to be on social media has been my serotonin boost. I would go on social media quite a lot, but now I don't feel like sharing anything like I used to, especially of my personal life. I'm hardly on, screen time has gone down a lot for me. So I'm not really into that. I'm more into just being out there, sitting with my animals, because I have 5 dogs. Well, 4 now, 1 passed away, and a goat. So I have my little animal friends, and just being with them brings me joy. And being around people and just having nice conversations. So my time really has been consumed with doing many different interviews, like what we're doing now. And maybe that's why I'm not on social media as much, because I'm busy doing interviews. So if that answers that.
You talked about how you knew you wanted to go to space, and it's connected to who you know yourself to be and what you truly want. And you dealt with not being a scientist and knowing that you'd have to wait, or just the space industry itself doesn't have a lot of options for people, scientists or not, to go to space. Only so many people go every year. And yes. in our lifetimes, since we're all born after the Apollo age, it's really been very different, and it seemed to get smaller, at least until the last few years, where now it's increasing again. And you've had the privilege of being part of right there, kind of at this early space of the new space tourism and jumping back into the space age a bit. I'm curious your thoughts on that. How is the space age opening up for people who aren't scientists, for families? I'm curious, having been on the inside somewhat, what you think.
Oh, wow. I just think it's juicy and exciting and fantastic. I love the idea that space industry has opened up for regular people like me and whoever else to have that opportunity to go to space. Not all of us want to work in the space industry, but it would be nice to actually see what's out there and just see it with your own eyes, you know, and feel it for yourself, and in a safe way as well. And it's given so much respect to all the years of research and the people who were sacrificed and, you know, lost their lives in just to get it to where it is now and where it's going to be in the future. So it's a beautiful yoke between respecting the scientists, the military, the engineers who, you know, created the technology for it to expand in this way. And also for the ones who, like maybe Virgin Galactic, maybe SpaceX or whoever else, who are offering it commercially to other people that, you know, who can afford it and have the experience. And then with places like Space for Humanity, you know, who are actually sending people out into space, but they're sending leaders who will come back and make an impact, you know, make a change, a conscious change on our planet, which I believe in this mission, why I'm here and spreading, you know, my story. So, you know, to encourage others as well that, you know, you can make a difference. We can shift our planet and we can explore and be more adventurous as well.
As you've been going around and sharing your experience in interviews and to groups, what are some unexpected questions you've received? I know I've heard in time that children always ask the best questions too that you don't expect, but I'm just curious what's caught you off guard or has been a really good one out there.
That's a nice wacky one. So 3 of them pop up immediately. One, someone asked me if I tried spitting in space and what that was like. the second one was someone asked me what meal did they serve in space. And then the third one is, where did I go for the bathroom? So yeah, so I had to explain, okay, I wore mags, I wore a diaper. I was very proud of it. I didn't have to use it either.
And too short of a flight for an in-flight meal, right?
Exactly, too short.
I've also heard that, unfortunately, as of now, there's still not really great food at Spaceport America either. That's the rumor I've heard. There's not, like, I'd imagine that there's food trucks, but I hear there's not really, so.
Well, I got a VIP, so they hired a private chef for me, and it was amazing. So I had very good food, and I'm complicated. I'm a gluten-free vegan that only eats whole foods, raw and natural. So they had to like do special meals for me, but it was worth it.
What was that 24 hours going into that launch like? Did you, I mean, did you eat? Did you not have to eat because you don't want to throw up or something? I'm curious about that, but also just like, what's that whole 24 hour process of getting ready to go into space and launching and take off and all that?
Great question as well. So I kind of thought that maybe it would be better not to eat because you don't want to upset your stomach. But luckily there was training. So they said, no, you eat something so you have the energy to handle the boost and all of that. So we did our final, you know, pre-checks and training prior and got back to the cabin, had a good meal again, and then some rest. But then I woke up very early. We were to wake up early anyway before the sunrise to get us there before it got too hot. But I got up like really too early and I wanted to just go and see the stars because something was just pulling me. And it was the first night in that 7 days that we were staying up there being trained. It was the first night that you could see the sky so clear. There was no clouds. And then I saw the moon and the stars were just really shining. And I just felt this calm and this peace, almost like it's an invitation. We're ready for you. And then I did a little bit of practice in meditation and that kind of stuff. Took a shower and waited for everybody else to wake up and had a very light meal again, just a bowl of fruits and a green juice. And then to spaceport, they had some more breakfast ready for me. I didn't really eat much of it, but everything that I requested was there. So I just took like a few bites, lots of water just to keep hydrated, got dressed up, space suit and everything, and put on all our equipment or parachute. And then went through the hatch and took our seats. And then we actually went down the runway, took off like a regular commercial flight. Because it was an air launch, you know, they climbed up to 45,000 feet, got us there, and then dropped us in midair. And then our rocket started up and boom, straight out into space, going faster than the speed of sound. And then we made it up to 290,000 feet, which was about 55 miles out. And to my surprise, I was floating and looking at Earth. I was like, wow, this is really possible. And just to experience that for yourself was just so surreal. And to say that you're the first time you're actually face to face with the planet, looking at the planet, just floating, and both of us are looking at each other. It's almost like we're getting to know each other. And it was like a telepathic communication and just seeing the relationship as well with the sun, how it was just a single ray, almost like a lightning going across the cosmos and touching our planet. And that was really like a miracle just to see that and to see the fiery blue aura around the planet, which in pictures, it looks very smooth and round, but with the reality, with the eyes, it looks like flames around our planet. It was just beautiful.
Other astronauts have described that experience like a birth, that seeing the Earth at that level, it's such a shift in consciousness. It is leaving the womb and really being alive and around. I'm curious, too, is being there with your daughter and being a mother, if that analogy works, and if you have anything to say about that in particular.
It was really nice to see my daughter, to say that I'm seeing my daughter look at the planet for the first time. It's like I'm saying, I see my kid taking his first step. So that was like, when I thought of that, I was like, whoa, that I just felt like I just left my head and it was just too much to comprehend. But just to have that opportunity, I felt so privileged. And it was beautiful when I saw her. Before I enjoyed the view, I looked at her to make sure she was okay. And what she did, she just looked out, I looked at her, and then I smiled and then straight out the window. So it was very satisfying to see, you know, my baby girl enjoying that experience and having that feeling like I feel purpose now. Both of us have suffered with depression, you know, not heavy depression, but, you know, like mild depression. And that just gave us a feeling of worth, like, wow, my life is worth something. oh, it is possible for me to acquire my dream. So I could see that shift in her where she felt more purpose-driven to go to college, and she's not even interested to do any interviews because she doesn't want anything to disturb her time with studies. And usually the mother is the one that's coming down on the kid like this, right? Yeah. But no, she's coming down at me. I need my time to study. And I was like, okay, study away.
So yeah. So what I've read is that her studies are actually, she has a dual focus in physics and philosophy. Is that correct? And I just feel like that's what a fitting match for somebody who's gone to space. And did this experience shift the trajectory of that at all, or just kind of deepen it? So I know that's a question for her, but I guess she won't interview herself. I'll ask you by the proxy.
But I think that, you know, I got to know her much better because of this experience. So it has deepened her will to study this, but also to get into astrobiology when she's done that. So I think she's going to be studying for a while.
Are there any ways that you think any like alignment, this is kind of a shift of question, between the experience of the overview effect or any of that kind of space experience, spirituality, and any of the philosophies or spiritualities of Antigua or Israel or Judaism?
So that's a beautiful question, because it's something that I thought of as well, because being in space and what shocked me in being in weightlessness is how light my body felt. Like all the thoughts just lifted off of me, all the worries just lifted off of my body. And then the happiest moment I ever had in my life was being in that community, that oneness with community and family and friends together, and people are just getting along. And the closest I came to feeling that was when I was in Israel with my husband's family and seeing how every Friday everybody comes together and celebrating on Shabbat and, you know, and this type of stuff. So being in space now, it was that feeling, but amplified by 100%. So I just felt this connection to everything, that nothing is separated, almost like a whisper in my ear. Nothing is separated. Everything is together. Everything is peace. Not to worry about anything. And the deeper you can go into the peace is the deeper you go into acceptance. So it's like, I accepted my body. I accepted that I'm floating here. I accepted that everything is working out. I just accepted everything. And it was a great feeling of peace. And then being in Antigua and connection with Israel and everything else, I feel like this is what, this is also the belief in Israel as well. Family-oriented, community-oriented. But if we can expand that to the whole planet now, how beautiful will that be, that the whole world sees the entire globe as a community instead of a separation?
It's deep. We're going so deep. I feel like, you know, you said there was a lot of questions. I feel like we've touched every question and I have almost none left here. I want to ask, do you have messaging to share with young women around the world who dream of exploring space, specifically also those who aren't scientists and don't want to become scientists and don't need to be, you know, pushed in that direction?
That's a good question. But let's see what's coming up. Always make up your mind to say yes to yourself. Stop saying no to yourself. Many times we believe that a dream might be too big and we can't accomplish it, but we know that somehow we want this. So we go into the imaginative world and like, oh, maybe next life I can have this, I can do that. But no, don't say that to yourself. Say yes to yourself, make up your mind. This is what I want. And then align yourself to allow your the energies to of the universe, of whatever your faith might be, so that it can this can happen for you. It's just by saying yes to opportunities. Stop. If you're afraid of something, look at where the block is coming from. Whose voice are you hearing? Who is telling you, no, you can't do this? Yes, you can do it. One step at a time, it will all lead you to that place where you want to be eventually. But it's not all the time, it's the destination. It's also the journey. Because I got to my destination. Now what? So enjoying the journey along the way is really the benefit. So now for me, I need to find a new goal now. So sometimes getting to the top is not always the best, but just keep saying yes to yourself and showing up for opportunities. Learn how to do it after. And that's the way.
Was there anything special? Like, did you have pockets? Was there anything special you brought with you? A keepsake, something that is just personally meaningful?
Yes. So I'm a person that loves crystals. And so two things I value very much is crystals, because they're just so pretty. And I love the energy that emits from them. And I also love family. So I took pictures of everybody from my family. And especially my father, because my father was no longer with us. He passed a year before going to space. So I took pictures of him and a letter I wrote to him. And the crystals were to give out to my friends who I wish could have been there and weren't there, like my mother and my other daughter as well, to give them a gift as well. So just a handful of persons were able to get some crystals from me, and hopefully they see the value in it, because that represented their presence in my life.
Oh, that's so special.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That's all of my questions. This was, for me, very unexpected and deep and rich. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast to discuss this. Do you have any special plans for Passover?
Well, Jacob, it's a pleasure to have been here. And yes, we have plans, because we have some friends, some of our Jewish friends from Israel are coming to spend it with us. So we're picking them up on Wednesday. And we're just renting a big house and all staying together. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds really nice. Well, thank you so much, and best in all your journeys and everything you've shared with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Shalom.
This episode of Space Midrash was written and produced by me, Jacob Sager, right here on planet Earth 2024.